This is a replay of the Thursday night, December 6th WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have the next 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has absolutely no importance whatsoever. That's right. We sort of depart from the troubles of the day and just try to have a good time. I do have a tabloid in the other room, by the way, if it comes to that. But as I was mentioning, you may have more money in your wallet than you thought. Apparently, 5 discontinued American bills are worth more than their face value. Now, the first thing is, $2 bills are legit. They're also not all that rare. They're the rarest of the currencies. There are about 1.5 billion of them in circulation. And not discontinued, but they're not truly uncommon, so that that makes them worth pretty much $2. Now, some of them can be up to $2,500, between $3 and $2,500, depending on certain things that collectors care about. But for the most part, if you're saying, oh, I got a $2 bill, well, great, you got $2. Now, what's interesting is that there's never been a $3 bill. Yeah, phony is a $3 bill. Yeah, you're used to that, right? Well, the government actually thought of printing one in 1862. And it never did, but that was the year they started printing the $2 bills, which they are still printing. Now, as far as what they're not printing and might bring you some cash, the $500 bill. Yeah, last printed in 1945, if you're wondering. William McKinley is the president on the front, and that was discontinued in 1969. So again, the series are what matters to collectibles. So 1928, more collectible than 1934, and then condition and all that. But a $500 bill should net you anywhere between $800 and $4,000, which isn't, you know, very much, but hey, better than 500, right? If you're wondering, the bills had the likeness of John Marshall, the 4th U.S. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. All right, now, if you find a Lincoln penny with a distinctive mark, it could be worth $60,000, and when you start getting into coins, that happens, but rarely do we hear too much about bills. A $1,000 bill first printed in 1861 during the Civil War. Wasn't until the 1920s that it became widely used. And by the way, the 1920s, $1,000 might have been your annual salary. How widely was this used? It featured Alexander Hamilton, later replaced with Grover Cleveland McKinley. And you know, some say it's worth $1,650, but the truth is, and again, it has to do with the markings in the series and all that, some $1,000 bills have sold for as much as $100,000. Now, there was a $5,000 bill, and it was last printed in 1945. That had James Madison on it. And like the $500 and $1,000 bills, it was discontinued in 1969. And again, it's all about the series. The 1928 are more scarce than the 1934. And in fact, there are only 24 1928s known to exist in the world, so that could bring you $25,000, depending on grading. Then there was a $10,000 bill. I had no idea. Well, apparently there was an uncirculated 1934 $10,000 bill that was sold at auction recently for $480,000. And the large denomination bills attract the collectors big time. If you're wondering, the $10,000 bill featured Salmon Chase, Secretary of the Treasury under Abraham Lincoln, and it was last printed, again, 1945. Discontinued in 69 for similar reasons. And it is illegal, by the way, for a collector to hold a $100,000 bill. But they have them. All right, the highest denomination ever printed by the Bureau of Engraving and Printing was a $100,000 bill. And it was a gold certificate featuring Woodrow Wilson and was only used as an accounting device for transaction between branches of the Federal Reserve. So it wasn't in circulation as cash. Printed in 1934, never circulated, at least not widely and not to the public. And while fascinating and historically significant, it has no monetary value on the face of it, but might have a value to collectors. So there's some money that you might have floating around, though I've never seen any of them. I don't know that I've ever seen even $500 bill, but there you have it. Maybe you're lucky. And yeah, coins can bring you a lot, but for the most part, most of the coins you have are probably not the ones that are getting the $60,000 mark. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we can talk about whatever is on your mind. You can vote again, and we're talking about those guilty pleasures, those songs that you absolutely love, but you are just loath to have anyone find out about it. You are embarrassed as heck that you're singing along with every word. And yes, many of them do hit the world's worst hit records because, of course, the fact that they're hits, somebody loved them. Maybe that somebody is you. So by all means, contribute, and it's a cumulative total, and we'll replay them on Christmas night to see about your guilty pleasures. That'll be your Christmas gift. Or not, since some of them do make the world's worst hit record, so it'll be decidedly split all the way around. Now, John wanted me to mention, I meant to do this last night. Actually, I meant to do it Monday night. He said, don't mail food. All right, I got that. I appreciate hearing from many, many people, anybody who wants to write, email, snail mail, whatever. As I say, I get overloaded and sometimes I don't see or don't answer them. But the problem with sending anything perishable is we're not in one location at any given time. So if you send it to Globe, Miami, well, we may not see it for a few weeks. If you send it to Scottsdale, we may not see it for a few weeks. So we don't know where we're going to be, so please don't mail food. And I said to John, I said, is this a thing? And he said, yeah, got a call. Someone wanted to mail us food. Don't mail us food. All right, so appreciate it, though. Appreciate the thought. Don't mail money either, all right? That's not good either. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Marlo is in Missouri. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, the other night you were talking about what happens to socks that you lose in the dryer.
Yes, and I've lost another one since then.
Okay, I was struggling. Well, I mean, you know, you lose them every once in a while anyway. Mm-hmm. So one day I was folding laundry and a friend was with me and I said, come out to the garage and we can chat while I fold the laundry. And I paired up the kids of the socks of my kids and my husband, and I had one left over. And I said, what happens to socks that get lost in the dryer? And
right.
She said, oh, they come back as unmatched Tupperware lids.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
So I thought I would just share that with you, dear.
Oh, God. Well, there's probably some truth to that. Now, see, here I was hoping for something helpful, like just open the filter or something, but no.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. Just look at all your lids that don't fit anything. Every one of them was a sock.
Well, probably so, and there's another thing involved here with the socks, though, and I know it's somewhat of a conspiracy, because why is it it's only the socks I like?
It is, and you swear you look in the washer, you know you put two of them in. You look back in the washer, and they're never there.
That's exactly it. And the ones you don't like are the ones you have 30 pairs of. They never get lost.
You are correct, and then you think, well, then I'm just going to wear these socks I don't like. But that doesn't last very long because you really don't like them.
Well, that's right. That's right. Your feet complain. You're 100%
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right, so I'll have to look through the Tupperware collection to see if anything resembles a sock.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's probably true. But there's so many things like that. Where's the other one? Yeah. And I lost two of the little on a purse sometimes. On the bottom of the purse, they'll have these little things that metal things that, you know, prevent it from getting the leather on the floor type thing. I don't know what they're called. Stoppers, purse stoppers. I don't know. But I lost two of them and I figured, oh, well. And I was about to throw the purse out, and then I wound up finding one of them in one of my locations, and I thought, well, so I found one. What about the other one? Who cares? So I threw that one out. And then 2 weeks later, I found the other one. But it didn't matter anymore because I'd thrown the first one out. So the purse went too, ultimately. So, but I know things like that that come in pairs. And I do have those devices. Over the years, people have mailed me the devices where you keep the socks together, which is a great idea. And I never know where they are when I'm doing the laundry. So, yeah, I've got to be better at this. All right, we'll get to Cindy in Norwich here in a moment. But I want to get to the Sea Crane Company. I know if you listen to the show, you're a radio lover. And you're probably well aware of Bob Crane and the Sea Crane Company because he, too, was a radio lover. Only he did something about it because he, like many of us, complained about the awful reception that you were getting on radios, you know, 30 years ago or so. And he said, you know, I can do better than this. And that is the commonality that every one of his radios shares, and that is they all have terrific reception. But all of them have a number of other really neat features too, and the CC Pocket is something to consider. It's AM, it's FM, and like I say, it's incredible reception, especially for its size. It's also NOAA weather and an alert. It's got a clock and a digital readout. It's got 5 presets for each band, and it fits easily in your hand, so it's just terrific. There's a display light, a sleep timer, and there's a belt clip and a headphone jack and FM stereo or mono switch, which can help you if you're kind of DXing there. And as I say, the weather band, the weather alert, and AM and FM and the preset. So it's just terrific. It runs 80 hours on 2 AA batteries with the speaker, 100 hours if you're using earbuds. And it's a perfect collection, especially if you're looking for a great pocket radio. And right now, free shipping. That's right. Free U.S. priority mail shipping. So in time for Christmas, that's for sure. Lightweight, durable, and I can say that because I'm truly an elephant when it comes to my things, and if I can break them, if they can be broken, I break them. And these CC Pockets seem indestructible, well, so far. Anyway, it's an on-the-go, ready-to-go, anywhere radio with terrific reception and so many other neat features. You can go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Pocket and everything else. Only thing is, you're going to find something you got to have. Yeah, I guarantee that. Maybe more than one. And right now, though, your entire order gets free priority mail shipping. So that's nice. If you can't go online to ccradio.com, you can call them. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Their customer service is in-house. They'll help you. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a catalog. If you can't go online and want a hard catalog, they'll send one of those to you. And you can order. So that's ccradio.com or 800-522-8863, the CC Pocket with free U.S. Postal Priority Mail shipping this week. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Can I cry if I want to? No one cares. Why can't I pretend that you love me again? All I had has been taken from me. Just one kiss.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Lenny Welch, 1966 on Cap, and it started yesterday. Sorry about all the scratches. I didn't have a clean copy. I took what I could get, because John had never heard, Angela had never heard Just One Smile, which we played for Jimmy P last night, the hit version, which is Gene Pitney. And John said, I really like that song. I said, yeah, but my favorite's the Lenny Welch version. And so I said, I'll play that. And I didn't remember how badly it was scratched, but nonetheless, everybody has cut that record, and their brother, so it seems. It was on Blood, Sweat, and Tears' first album. Also, it was on one of Dusty Springfield's albums, and Randy Newman wrote that. So, yeah, Just One Smile. That's the Lenny Welch version. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and we have Cindy, and Cindy is in Norwich. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, there's a couple things I want to talk about, but the first thing is your I don't know what you call it, trivia, but songs. My favorite music is like hippie music. You know, I thought about it, and it's not dirty. John Fogerty, Moody Blues, and Ringo Starr.
All right. Well, if you have one that you're embarrassed to admit you love, tell me what it is.
Back off, Boogaloo.
Okay. All right. That's the spirit. Absolutely. Excellent.
But then the other thing, there's three things I want. And then the other thing was, I don't have problem with socks disappearing. I have problems. I'll buy like 10 pairs of reading glasses at the dollar store.
Yeah.
And they're all gone in 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know where they go either.
But then the other thing I wanted to talk about is I've been plagued with anxiety and just been really getting, you know, it's over now, though, because I decided to take a reverse mortgage when I'm 62 and 4 months.
Okay.
And I'm doing it with David Hochberg from WGN Commercials.
Okay.
And the property taxes in Cook County are just out of hand.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's a problem in a lot of places, and it's interesting. California years ago fixed that with Proposition 13, where the taxes were all based upon the value of the house when you bought it, not as it escalated. That worked for many decades. The problem is about 50 years later, what they discovered is no one could sell their home because they couldn't, you know, have higher property taxes. So now they allow people to carry that over. If they've owned the home for a period of time and they buy another home also in Los Angeles, they get to, or in California, I should say, they get to get that break. But you're right. I know people. I have one friend, and he's paying over $45,000 a year in property tax. And I said, you do not own your house. You're renting it from the city.
Well, I only pay, you know, it's going to be like $7,000. You know, and I'm on a fixed income with Social Security.
Don't they have programs? Now, of course, you mentioned you're not 62 yet or whatever, so you're kind of young, but don't they have programs for you?
No, I mean, the disability exemption is at the max $250.
So they'll get $7,000 out of you, even if it's going to cost you some meals.
They don't, the one, I guess his last name was McAuliffe. He was... He pretty much wanted to do something for people that were like, I'm disabled from bipolar. I mean, I just, you know, bipolar people are always stressed out, and the stress of working and taking care of, my sick mother and dealing with crazy family members and neighbors, I just couldn't.
Well, after a while, like you say, you just have to say, forget it. I'm just not going to worry about any of it. And that's the attitude to have.
I guess after a while, I just let it all go and gave it to God.
Yep, turn it over. Yep, absolutely.
Just
turn it over to the Lord.
I just sat back and said, I can't, you know, just like all this was going on around me, and I just let it go and just gave it to God.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely, and that's sometimes a test of your faith.
Here on the couch. and give it to you, and that's it. I mean, I don't know if it, you know, if there is a devil, there must, you know, I you know, and at the time I thought the devil just tries harder with people with, like,
no, I don't think so. I think it's your challenge to rise above it, and it sounds like you're starting to do that, so don't look back. Keep doing that. But what I will tell you is you picked an incredibly difficult time, because even people who aren't stressed the rest of the year, very often during the holidays, are tremendously stressed. So don't put any more stress on you.
I mean, it's my cousin and I in opposite ends of the house, and we talk sometimes, and, you know, I just make my dinner, like, 2 days before, and on the holiday, watch the dog show.
Very good. Yes.
The
kennel
show.
That's always good.
And then I take down my tree. On, you know, Christmas Eve, we open our presents. Little, you know, and the cat has his catnip toys, and, you know, and then I just take everything. I take everything down on Christmas Day, all my decorations, and put up Valentine's Day in the window.
Well, if that's your tradition and it works for you, keep on keeping on. Well, I'm going to go to the news, but we'll talk to you soon, Cindy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Let's find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there they are, the Elgins, and Cleveland Dennis and I have that in common. I love that record, too. 1965 on VIP, Holland Dozier Holland. They wrote it and produced it, and it's just a perfectly fine record all the way around. You know, there's another Elgins group. They're actually guys, and they were in L.A., and I'll play one, and actually they did New York stuff, too, because some had been in the Passions and the 16s and the Colognes, but I'll play one of their things coming up, too. They were on Valiant. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Stacy in a moment, but I wanted to follow up on Cindy and her anxiety because, as I say, holiday time, even people who normally don't have any anxiety profile are absolutely over the top. And there was a study from the American Psychological Association. 40% of Americans are concerned about finding the right gift. 58% are worried about spending too much money. 38% were stressed about missing family. 30% were stressed about family being there. 30% were stressed over pressure to make the holidays special. 19% were worried about traveling. So overall, 89% of those who responded said they were stressed out. So if that's you, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club, of course, is perfect. It is a safe haven, worry about nothing. At best, it's ho-ho-hum, and no forced frivolity. So, and it'll be over before you know it, and we'll celebrate on January 2nd, and we'll be live on all nights that encounter holidays, if I normally would be on the air. So Monday evening, Christmas night, I'll be with you. And Monday night, New Year's night, I'll be with you. So 888-876-5593. Stacy is in Algonquin. So Stacy, firstly, how's the COVID? Stacy? Oh, no. What happened to Stacy? She called last night and had COVID. Now she's called and she's missing from the phones. Well, hopefully Stacy will call back. Yeah, because I'd hate to think about it. No, I'm sure that she's just fine. I hope so, anyway. So she just made a move this week. And as I was telling her yesterday, I am convinced that whenever you've got too much going on at once, nature's way to cause you to slow down is some type of a cold, a virus, a flu, something that it's like hits you over the head and it's like, I gotta lie down now. Yeah, so that's what it takes. But hopefully Stacy is not missing an action and will call us back. Same for you, 888-876-5593. Now, speaking of finding the right gift... There is a mother who has put together a TikTok video as a PSA after the horror she was subjected to by her own bad self. it's somewhat funny, and the only sad part is I don't know what her daughter thought or if the daughter knew. So here was the deal. Last year, mom is shopping for her young teen daughter and looking for the perfect thing and finds it because it's this really nice hoodie, and it's a kind of a camo hoodie, and it's just something to be perfect. Well, she thought it was a camo print, and she thought those cute zipper pulls shaped like fairies were just the thing. Well, 11 months later now, this is November, and she's made some discoveries about this perfect hoodie. For one thing, the zippers are not fairies, they're exotic dancers. Now, on top of that, if you look closely at the camouflage pattern, it's actually the outlines of scantily clad or less women. And she said, it wasn't what I had in mind when I gave it to my daughter. And so 11 months later, she notices. By the way, the only thing wrong with this story, it was on Newsweek, is they didn't say, did the daughter know? Yeah, did the daughter wear it? I don't know. So she has note to self, inspect clothes more thoroughly next time. But she's made herself a public service announcement video and put it on TikTok. And it's been viewed more than 1.2 million times, reached over 149,000 likes, and was just posted last week. And so, yeah, that's a certain amount of stress. 11 months later, you're looking and say, oh, no. Yeah, so there you have it. Good luck on shopping. I'm looking at the zipper pulls as I speak, and I don't know that I would have thought they were exotic dancers. I'm not sure what I would think. Fairies wouldn't have come to mind either. I'm not sure what would have. But yeah, so be careful on that holiday shopping. And according to surveys, you're going to be doing a little less of it this year. That I have noticed. People worried about credit cards, and people worried about, well, of course, inflation in general, as far as that goes. So, and of course, if you've been living on the credit cards all the way around, probably don't have much room to add some gifts to it. But we'll see. I've been in a few stores in the last few days for reasons absolutely unrelated to Christmas. And I really haven't noticed an uptick in who's there. But the one thing I have noticed over the last 4 days, I don't know where they're coming from, I don't know where they're going, but the traffic has multiplied exponentially. Yeah, it's John and I were both talking about that earlier. Where do you think they're going? Gee, I don't know, but there's more of them going there than have been there in the past. So, and you know, sometimes the hours you'd say, well, maybe it's a holiday party or a company party or something. Not at some of these hours. It's just there are more people out on the road. And yeah, I don't even want to go there that maybe they're living there. But no, these people look like they are mobile. Not that they're stuck in one place. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And what do we have? Well, of course, we have the tabloids. And we have your votes on your guilty pleasures, which I do want to know all about that. So beyond that... Well, it's going to be up to you. There are a number of stories. And, you know, I bypass all the political ones, and we're not talking about the debates and all. I mean, you can do that somewhere else, and I'm sure, depending on how you look at it, that might present a certain amount of mirth, too. But, you know, the stories about angry Jill Biden says Kamala Harris should go herself. Yeah, I'll leave the expletive out of there. Well, I guess I got to bend and see that one because it's not really political. Let's see what the backdrop is on that. Yeah. Oh man. And Joe Biden's primary opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, threw a wrench into the Biden's relationship when she criticized him for, oh, who cares? This is not going to be interesting after all. But I would have loved to have just seen the part about, go screw yourself, so to speak. All right, so 888-876-5593. Maybe I'll come across that video, but so far, nah. All right, Ken in Arlington Heights, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, good evening. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Doing well. So my wife and I were kind of on the bubble about all this gift giving between family members. We've pretty much been the the family's gotten so big with kids and grandkids and everything that it just got to a point where you almost had to rob a bank to get everyone a Christmas gift. So a couple of years ago we said to our family that we're kind of bowing out of it, not to be curmudgeons, but What does everyone need? I mean, everyone's got everything that they want. And so we've started personalizing gifts. And to give you an idea, and my wife's the one who's behind this, very creative. So my mom is a big baker and she's a great cook. She's 90.
Wow.
And so she has all of her recipes handwritten out on index cards, and mm-hmm. She's famous for two things. When one of them is a great nut bread that she makes, and the other one is apple slices.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife went and bought cutting boards, probably about maybe 8x16 with a handle, like you cut your carrots and stuff on. Mm-hmm. They're wood, really nice quality. And somehow she went to a place and she took a couple of the handwritten recipes that were on the cards, and they were able to mirror them and put them onto the cutting board, and then she shellacked it. And so there's a couple of recipes on the cutting board that are handwritten in my mom's writing that we're going to give out to, I've got five sisters, so mm-hmm. They're each going to get a different recipe. So rather than running around and doing, we just thought it was really special since my mom is such a great cook that maybe it would be a great memory to have some of her handwritten recipes put out and given in a gift in a kind of a unique way. So,
I like that. Now, does mom know you're sharing her recipes?
Well, here's the funny thing. So I said to my wife, I said, she's 90 and she's great. She gets around like a 16-year-old and she just passed her driving lesson too.
Good.
So, I said, if I was my mom, I would be thinking that it's a little morbid because you're putting out like a memory of mom and she's still alive. And it to me, it was a little, and my wife took it in a different way. Of course, she's always the positive one. I'm always the devil's advocate. And she said, no. She goes, it'll be just a great thing from since we all love her cooking, that it would be just a great thing for everyone to have. And so I don't know. I think they came out beautiful, Raleigh. They look great. It's really unique. And so anyway.
No, I think it's a great idea.
She is alive. But, she did know because we had to ask her for her recipe cards.
Okay.
And so we kind of lied to her and said, well, we just want to make copies of everything so we have it. And, they're all handwritten and stained with her fingers from, butter or whatever on the corners. So we had to have them cleaned up a little bit. But it came out really, it's an unbelievable. My wife was a genius. So
no,
really
I think it's
great.
It's a great idea. What I meant, though, in terms of does she know, some cooks are very particular about their recipes and they don't want anybody to know them. So as long as your mother, as long as your mother's willing to share, because if she's not, oh man, I don't want to be there Christmas Day.
And the nice thing about it, too, is the two recipes I talked about are actually from her mom. Mm. So they're from my grandmother. So it's a great memory. But again, I still kind of feel like we're, she's not in the ground and we're passing out a memory at Christmas time about her. But it's everyone's favorite things that she makes. We just love her apple slices and her nut bread. It's phenomenal.
That's
so
great. That's absolutely great. I love it.
So
good going.
Just wanted to call in.
Yes.
So you don't have to go to the store. You can think of something unique that you could have done. So.
Absolutely. No, that's a wonderful idea. Thanks. I appreciate it, Bruce.
Good night.
All right. So yeah, that is a wonderful idea. Again, as long as mom is in line with that, because yeah, some women, man, they are not giving out those recipes. No way, no how. And if that's the case, then yeah, right. It'll be World War III Christmas morning. But other than that, it'll be just fine. All right. So we'll get to Karen in Chicago. We'll get to Valerie in Warrenville. They've got some votes. And I was mentioning the other night a lot of businesses that do specials. You know, maybe it's for Valentine's Day, maybe it's for Christmas. The amount of restaurants that have gotten in trouble is, you know, a number that's startling. But the latest, oh man, wait till you hear about this, Red Lobster. I'll tell you all about it coming up on WGN's radio. James. Well, those are the other Elgins, yes, who were the Passions, the Colognes, the 16s. Members were in all sorts of groups. They had about a dozen records that were really good. And You Found Yourself Another Fool was one of them. 1965 on Valiant. Yeah, the label the association started out on. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. I'll get to Red Lobster next hour, I'm sure. But we have a number of things to discuss, and Karen in Chicago wants to add some songs. Okay, your guilty pleasures. What are you embarrassed to admit, Karen?
No, actually, I want to join the I Hate the Holiday
Club. Oh, well, you're in. Yeah, you don't even have to ask. You're in.
It's like, ho, ho, hell no.
Yep, that's
and,
us.
I used to get so irritated that when I worked and they would have the office party and I'd say, well, you know what, I think I'll call out that day. Oh, no, no, you can't. You have to attend the party. You have to. And I'm one of these people who is perfectly content to stay at home and go about my business like I would any other day. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, that's easy. You don't tell them you're backing out of the party. You just have some reason that, oh, my God, I'm sorry at the last minute. I just can't make it. Gee, what a shame.
Oh, they would hassle me.
No. Well, like, you know that death. You can't have the same person die every year, but you can have someone die.
I know. But I guess I never thought of that. The only thing I thought, gee, you know, it's almost hypocritical. Because here you're doing something that you don't want to do, and you're supposed to be going around telling everyone, oh, Merry Christmas, I love you, and all this happy stuff, and you're being a hypocrite.
Well, like I'm telling you, come up with a ready-made excuse. There are thousands from which to choose, and don't confront them. Don't tell them you don't want to go. Don't tell them that, you know, all the things that you'd love to tell them, because they'll just react in horror. You just say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry I'm missing it. Well, maybe next year.
Well, I'm retired now. Well, I don't have to worry about it.
No problems.
But, oh, my goodness. I used to just dread that every year. But the song was, I was going to ask if you'd play something by the Manhattan.
Oh, sure.
One of the ones from Carnival.
Well, of course. Absolutely. Well, you know, it'll either be tonight or it could be tomorrow night, but I'll get it this week for sure.
Oh, it doesn't matter, but you choose a good one. You always choose a good one.
I always do. When it comes to Carnival, it's hard to choose a bad one.
I know that. Okay, thank
right.
you.
Sure
so
thing.
Much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Karen. All right.
I'll call again. Take care. Thank you.
Yeah, whatever you do, for those in the Christmas spirit, if it's making you want to vomit, do not confront them. Yeah, just have a ready-made excuse. And, you know, you can be creative. Come on, you're up to this. And hopefully you'll not only not only be given a pass, but you'll get enough sympathy that they'll leave you alone. All right. Rich in Platteville, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi.
Hey, Rich.
Tell me about AM four-channel stereo. It used to be on. I used to listen to it on a Chicago station in the mid-70s from Elmwood Park.
Uh-huh.
Count BJ, he used to always tout he was talking out in four-channel stereo.
Wouldn't know what to tell you. It was bad enough on FM. Quadraphonic was a disaster. And the biggest reason it was a disaster, well, there are so many reasons, let me count the ways, but the single biggest one is they didn't standardize a system, so you had both matrix and discrete, kind of like with AM stereo when they didn't standardize a system. But if someone was doing AM quad, more you know, more power to them, but I don't know it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think it was a bit on the air.
BJ was a
I think it was a bit on the air for him. But that's a nice bit. And so I guess if you're saying Elmwood Park, that'd be like CFS, the 105.9.
This was an AM station.
Oh, this was AM. Whoa.
This was AM. Yes, he used to always say, "You're listening to four-channel stereo on AM."
No, you're not. You're really not. But good for him. So now I want to know more about Count BJ. Do you know anything about this guy?
Italian, through and through. Used to talk to the guys and say, "Hey guys, where's my suits?" And hated Frank Sinatra, but played them. And he played a lot of the old Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
He was a jazz guy.
Yeah, a jazz guy, absolutely. Now that you say it, I've heard of the guy. Because I read somewhere that he had his record collection stored in a vault in Chicago.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, Count BJ. I could see the guy saying that. So now I want to try to figure out. Now, you think this AM station was in Elmwood Park?
Yes, he would always say Elmwood Park,
all right,
Illinois.
All right, an AM. So I don't know what Elmwood Park AMs are licensed there. So that's what we're going to find out right now.
This was in the. I can tell you, it would be like smack dab in the middle of the '70s.
Okay, let's see. It would, and you know, they might have turned the license back in by now or changed the city a license. But I'm looking at a number of things, and none of them are coming up to Elmwood Park. And I got everybody, believe me. I've even got Sandwich, Illinois. Which is WKBM 9:30 AM. I don't know who that would be, but I'm going to do my best to find out. I love this.
Okay.
This is good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Glad to talk to you.
Thanks. All right. So, yeah, I love that kind of thing because it makes me start to go online. And that's the beauty of being online now. You don't have to go to the library and look for all the old broadcasting yearbooks. You can do it right online. And that's the first thing I'm going to do, you know, is do that during the news. And I'll report back. We'll have Valerie in Warrenville, Jan in Lake Villa. Cutting board sale on TV with recipe. I want to hear about this thing. All right. Well, this is the time when you'll see all those, you know, instant linoleum or whatever they're selling. Yeah, just add water. Bruce and Elwood's got some songs to add, and there's plenty of room for you, too. Another 2 hours of this here on WGN Radio.
Baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Frank Wilson. Sweeter as the Days Go By, 1965 on Soul. And Frank would have been 83 on Tuesday. Sadly died about a decade ago in Duarte. He was 71 when he died. And if you're saying name doesn't sound familiar, well, in the UK, that record, because of the flip side, Do I Love You, it brought, $30,000-$40,000. But the deal was, he was a writer for Motown. But before he was a writer, he was an artist. And in fact, Berry Gordy had released Do I Love You and Sweeter as the Days Go By, and asked him, hey, do you want to be a writer for us or do you want to be an artist? What is your passion? He said, well, I want to write. He said, well, then I'm recalling the record. And he did. So not many copies existed. And like I say, that flip side, Do I Love You, maybe we'll play that next, I don't know, was just huge on the Northern Soul circuit and brought a lot of money. But would have been 71 years old this week. All right, I'm sorry, that's not true. He died when he was 71. He would have been 83. I think yesterday, actually, was the birthday, the 5th. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Cleveland Dennis wants to add to the conversation. So, all right, Cleveland Dennis, did you hear your Elgins?
I love it. Okay. Thank you for playing it. That was one of the reasons I was calling, but I want to say Frank Wilson, yeah, he got a lot of airplay on the BBC with the Northern Soul. That's where I kind of got familiar with them.
Yep. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think it was 1530 the last caller was talking about AM.
That would be CKG, but in Elmhurst.
Yeah.
Although, see, the thing is, it can't be, because he said the guy was on at night, and he said the guy was on in the 60s. Now, that 1530 didn't come. October of 74, I think, that came to life. That was KDC originally. It stood for the counties like Will, Kane, DuPage, Cook, WKDC. And, you know, it was a daytimer at 2:50, and it was doing an MOR format. And the Blotters, it was a couple, they had put it on. And then they sold it to Bob Snyder, and he went broke within in a year. And the station went off the air. The Blotters took it back over and put it back on the air with kind of a adult standards, easy listening format. And then it went to Big Band. And then Joe Gentile bought it in 94.
Right.
The Baron of Barrington. And so
that's what I remember.
He had his own show there as well, but he had a lot of brokered programs as well. And then it became CKG, and that was Arthur. I don't remember his last name, but he and his son had it. And they had an FM translator that they got approval on channel 272, so that'd be 102.3, to go to the top of the Trump Tower. And so they went to sports, and that's the last I heard. But that is absolutely daytime only, because that 1530 has that's a 1B clear. So you're not gonna find, especially back then, you had KFBK in Sacramento, shared it with CKY in Cincinnati. They were the 250,000 watt stations, directional at night. Everybody else was pretty much a daytimer.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I used to listen to that station back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
They had a disc jockey. He always had a nice talk show. He was also a newspaper man, a Palestinian guy. But anyhow, those times are gone. I need to make a request.
Of course you do. What do you want to hear?
I think it's Richard Caton, You Look Like a Flower.
I don't know. I got to look this up. I don't know the song at all.
Yeah, it's very obscure, because when I sold my record collection, a guy bought me a couple reel-to-reels of his stuff, and I still had it. And he had it all, written down for me, and that's just one I remember quite well.
You Look Like a Flower.
Well, yeah.
I can understand that it wasn't a hit, but...
Right.
All right. Well, I have absolutely no idea. I think, though... This was, if I'm right, do you remember GNP Crescendo? Gene Norman was a disc jockey on KFWB, who also owned a little club, the Crescendo, and he started a record label, GNP Crescendo. And some of his artists were people like Rene Touzet, the guy who did the original Louie Louie. Well, not the original Louie Louie, but that's where Richard Berry got the idea for Louie Louie and all that. So I think if it's, is it like C-A-I-T-O-N, Richard Caton?
G-A-I-T-O-N. That's what I had written down.
All right.
What was written down.
That rest in peace, Gene Norman, but I guarantee you that's a Gene Norman record. I'll look for it. The fact that it's GNP Crescendo, I actually may have it. I'll look for it.
Well, that'll be fine anytime because I'm always listening. And then if I miss anything, I catch you on the app.
Sounds good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Jan in Lake Villa, Illinois. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening. As I was listening to you, the thought came back to me that this morning on Live with Kelly and Mark, they had that cutting board on their program for sale for half price if you ordered it within 24 hours. So if anyone needed it as a gift and they get online and order it before the next program, which is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, they might be able to get it.
And you can personalize it with the favorite family recipe.
And you can get it in the handwriting.
That's terrific. All right. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And I also want to say you sound a lot better because I ordered the Crane radio because you were saying that it had the 10% off. So I ordered it, and I got it on Monday, and you sound great.
Oh, great. Which one did you get?
Well, I got the EP.
Oh, yeah. EP Pro.
Yeah. It's great.
Terrific. Well, enjoy it. Thank you.
And it's always on 720, just like it is in the catalog.
That's well, thank you.
Okay, you have a good night.
You
too. Enjoy the holidays.
You too.
All right. As much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Got that. Thanks. So, 888-876-5593. Yeah, I just looked up the personalized cutting board, and they've got them online, ranging in prices from, one of them says $9.99. I'm not sure I'd do that one. But then they range from, basically $25 to $60, depending on whatever bells and whistles you want on your cutting board. All right, so we have Fran in Austin. Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. I was talking to Leah last night, and she was telling me that there was another death from that Panera Bread energy drink. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have heard about it, but I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah, I know we talked on here, or you had talked on here about the first one, but apparently there's been another one, a 42-year-old guy with high blood pressure.
He's going to have a hard time. He's going to have a real hard time because if you have high blood pressure, you're basically know damn well not to have anything that's going to be souped up on caffeine.
Yeah, and that's the thing that drives me crazy is that people will even bother to sue about something like that. You know you have high blood pressure. So why are you drinking? I have high blood pressure, and I drink coffee like crazy. But I would never sue Starbucks or whoever, or Folgers because, something happened to me because I drank too much coffee because that was my choice to do that.
Right. Well,
In spite of the fact that I know I have high blood pressure.
This lawsuit's going to be tough. Not only does the guy have high blood pressure, but if you read the lawsuit, he has an intellectual disability and blurry vision. So it can be argued that he might not have known what was in the drink, but it also can be argued that that is not Panera's responsibility. The biggest problem we have in this country is the overgrowth of lawyers and the laws that allow for contingency cases. And, with a contingency case, of course, if you're a lawyer and you don't have any other clients, why not just spend your time? If you win, hey, it's a big payday. And if you lose, there is no consequence. In England, for instance, the losing party has to pick up the winning party's legal fees. That's not true here. And so a contingency case can be filed against you by a lawyer with time on his hands. And you may actually win that, but let's say it cost you, $90,000 in legal to defend yourself. You'll win it, but it's a pretty hollow victory when that the other side doesn't have to pay for your legal.
Yeah, but, it's
You know, I'm not saying I don't want contingency cases. I don't want to outlaw them because for some people it's the only way they can file. But what I want is I want there to be a certain amount of responsibility that the lawyer filing the contingency case has to believe in it, meaning that he knows if he loses, he's going to have to pay the other side's legal.
Right.
You know, then it's a fair playing field. But as it is now, hot coffee, anything, you name it. Why shouldn't the guy file it? He's got time on his hands and a law degree.
Yeah, but then there's so many things that, you know, like you can't get them anymore because it's like you can't get
really
hot coffee.
Oh, or have really hot water in most places.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, and I don't like my coffee that hot. I mean, usually I like to let it sit and cool a little bit, but I know people that if it's not piping hot, I mean hot, they don't want to drink it.
Right.
And they can't get it like that anymore.
Oh,
because you know, if you put a hot cup of coffee between your legs and you're driving, there are good chances that that thing's going to explode on you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, both of these lawsuits, the first one was a 21-year-old girl, if you remember, and she had a chronic heart condition. So, you see, as far as I'm concerned, when you have a chronic heart condition, you know exactly what you can and cannot have, and it's up to you to be on the lookout for it. And if the product is called charged lemonade, you can pretty much guess that there's going to be something in it that you can't have.
Right. You know, energy drink. Okay.
Yeah.
What does that do? It speeds you up.
Yeah.
You know.
I
drink a lot of coffee because I have a weird sleeping schedule, and sometimes I have to get up at hours I don't want to, and I have to be awake, and, you know.
Right.
But if I do that, I'm not blaming Folgers for it.
Right.
And, you know, I've had weight problems off and on all my life. I'm not blaming McDonald's because I like those fries.
Yeah. Although they're not as good. They're not as good.
They're not as good as they used to be.
Yeah, I want that beef tallow. Bring me that beef tallow back. You know, that's another one of those cases. Yeah.
Was that? They changed that because?
Oh yeah, because
somebody complained.
Well, not so much somebody complained, but all the health consciousness. You know, I'm sorry, I'll take the beef tallow over whatever concoction you got on there now.
I know.
And
so many things. Well, you know, I call them health Nazis, but
right.
What can I say?
Well, it's unfortunately true. So, these will be interesting suits. Now, the arguments are that Panera just wasn't explicit enough. Because, after all, they did call it charged lemonade, but not explicit.
Okay, how much more explicit can you get? What are you... this is, lemonade contains speed.
Well, what they're doing now... Panera has now apparently taken it off the board with the other drinks. You have to ask for specifically, and it says right on it that up to 345 milligrams of caffeine is in each glass. Of course, you don't know how much is in each glass because they're mixing it there, you know, so nobody knows how much is in it, really, but they're thinking about 345. But so, they've got their enhanced warnings at this point. But, I said online, the warning says charged sips contain 245 to 390 milligram of caffeine. Well, hell, you know, if you got a heart problem, again, you see the word charged, you run in the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You know, and as I said, I know, you know, that I have high blood pressure. I shouldn't probably drink as much coffee as I do, but it's nobody's fault but mine.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, responsibility, what a concept.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like more and more, maybe it's because I'm living in Austin, I don't know, but it seems like more and more people do not want to take responsibility for their actions. They want to blame it on somebody else or some company or some, you know, and it's just ridiculous. And then, of course, and then the outcome usually is that you know, everybody else can't have it because you can't have it.
Well, right. By the way, I understand that this guy, this mentally challenged guy, drank three of them.
So, oh, well, my, yeah, okay. I think I'd be a little bit wired after three of those.
Right, who knows? But these suits are going to be very interesting to see where the court draws the line, because they are personal responsibility suits.
Yeah. So, and I just wanted to mention a little bit about Christmas or the holiday, and you know, I've dealt with the holiday anxiety in the sense that since my mother died, I don't really have to deal with it anymore. So mm-hmm. Gary and I, either we'll get a gift that's kind of for both of us that we both enjoy, mm-hmm. or, I'll get him a little something and he'll get me a little something, but we might do that other times of the year.
Right.
Having nothing to do, but I hate it. Every time I go out, somebody says, "You got your Christmas shopping done? Are you ready for the holidays? Where are you going for where are you going for Thanksgiving? Where are you going for Christmas?" I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. And part of it's okay with me, and part of it's not, because I feel like, why doesn't somebody invite us over?
No, I'll tell you, and
yet if somebody did, I probably wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, exactly. You would not want to go. But, sometimes if they ask you, "Y'all, your Christmas shopping done?" You can kind of get that look in your eye and say, "Yes, but don't tell anyone."
Yeah, I used to, and this was kind of dumb, I used to be honest and say, we don't do Christmas. What? You don't do Christmas? Well, you have to do something. I do. Okay. But now they just ask me, is your Christmas shopping done? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I have as much of it as I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. I guess that's easier than saying, "I'm sorry, I'm a heathen."
I have said that. Yeah. Actually have said that. "I'm sorry, yeah. I'm a heathen. Don't do Christmas."
Well, John said, "I'm more than a heathen if I don't play commercials, so I'll talk to you later."
Okay,
thanks.
Okay.
All right, so we'll do that right now on WGN Radio. Ho, ho, ho. Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those, of course, are the Four Seasons. That peaked at number 20 nationally this week, 1964, on Philips, Big Man in Town. And talking about a variety of things. Yes, something close to nothing, and I haven't forgotten the story yet on how Red Lobster screwed up. Yeah, this time. All right, but they're not alone. Restaurants all over have actually done this, and oh, man. All right, so you'll see exactly what I mean when I get to that. But talking with Fran and Austin, and that takes us to Valerie in Warrenville. What you got for me, Valerie?
Hey, Raleigh, glad to hear you're feeling good.
Yeah. So what you got for me?
Let's see, Cats in the Cradle.
Aha, uh-huh. That's a favorite, is it?
Yeah, okay. I used to know the lyrics by heart.
All right, what else you got?
Cherokee Nation.
Cherokee Nation. Okay. You're not on speakerphone, are you?
Hang on.
And don't ever do that. It's impolite to do that. All right. So where are we?
Give me a second here. Hang on.
Oh, there. You're supposed to be ready. All right. So go for it.
Well, I was doing hands-free at the time, darling.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Time in a Bottle.
Okay.
The Night Chicago Died.
All right. Now, these are favorites, right? You hear it, you turn up the radio, and you say, "Oh, my God, it's Paper Lace. It's The Night Chicago Died. I can't wait to hear all of it." Okay, as long as that's the case.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm got the right set of
drugs
firing, I'll sing along with it.
Oh, good. Excellent. All right. What else you got?
Lucille by Kenny Rogers.
Oh, you find time to lose me with Seal. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 400 children. All right.
Was the Gambler song that he did also a hit?
A big hit.
Okay, then all right. If that was a hit, it was that one,
a
too.
A big hit.
Let's see. The Rubber Band Band by the Spinners.
Okay. Rubber Band Band, okay.
Barracuda by Heart.
Okay.
Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas.
Okay. And now all these are ones you're embarrassed to tell anyone you like these songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, when I'm by myself, I turn up the volume.
Okay. Well,
and when I'm not, I just sort of ignore it.
None of these are my favorites, but I've never heard of anybody tremendously embarrassed that they liked a Kansas song.
Well,
that's okay.
It was the crowd that I was involved with, they weren't Kansas fans.
All right. What else? Are we done? No, we got more.
I'm debating about this one because I was trying to remember if I actually liked it or not.
Well, then don't say it until you know for sure. You have to know in your heart of hearts it's one of your all-time favorite records, not just like it a little. Got to be one of your all-time favorite records.
And nobody's mentioned it, so I can't second it. So,
All right.
So that is everything for the. That's everything.
All
for
right.
The
very good. Excellent. Well, we'll talk to you later. What?
Did I miss the Dark of the Moon?
No. Was I going to play that?
No. The moon itself.
Oh, you're asking me. I see. You're asking me the new moon. No, the new moon is coming up Tuesday. All right, and that is December 12th, this coming Tuesday at 5:30 Central Time. So you have to write that check before 5:30 on December 12th, Tuesday.
Okay. Put that in the notes for the website, please.
I will try.
Don't forget it.
All right. Good deal.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So. I will try. And so, I'm half out of it by the time I write those things on the blog. But I do at least list all the bumpers we played, or most of the bumpers we played. I try to list all of them, but I don't always remember them. So, all right. So, Andrew in Chicago is going to add to the list. All right. Andrew, can't wait.
Off speaker phone. Weird Al Yankovic.
Off speaker phone. You can do it. I know you can.
There we go. The Weird Al Yankovic. Song Bat.
I don't know if that was a hit. I don't know if I can count that.
Huh?
I don't know if I can count that. That wasn't a hit.
It wasn't?
No. There are basically very few Weird Al Yankovic songs that would even vaguely count, but the ones that Dr. Demento played the hell out of, we'd count, but that's about it.
Let's see. My Bologna, then.
Okay, that way, absolutely. That counts.
Okay. Secondly, I actually wasn't going to call in until you mentioned, the Beef Tallow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably the only guy in, in probably this part of the country, under the age of 35, who actually bakes using lard, especially pies.
No reason not to.
I mean, I just don't understand the nutritionist. And, and I know that, what's her name? Julia Child,
mm-hmm.
Had issues with them, too. Because it's, I don't know, to me, it's always like, if you want to lose weight or get healthy, either eat less or walk more.
Well, right, but
that's what always helped me.
No, that's true. The deal with lard, it gets a very bad name. It actually is probably more healthy than most of the stuff they're passing along as being healthy for you. It's certainly better than the oils, than the canola oils and all that. Much better. And much better than margarine. Oh, my God. I don't have a problem with lard.
Yeah, and I never tried beef tallow, though.
That's the old recipe that McDonald's used originally. That's how those fries were so wonderful. But you're young enough that you may never have eaten them.
Probably not.
Yeah. So
I've seen it in the on the shelf of the grocery store.
Right, absolutely.
And next time I, you know, fry up fries, and I don't do any of that, you know, oven baked fries or oven baked fried catfish. You know, that's not frying. That's, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, oven baked is definitely not frying. But yeah, McDonald's was like 93% beef tallow in that. That was for decades. And what was really terrible is I thought it was wonderful. Now, of course, initially, I'll be honest with you, the McDonald brothers in Southern California were just trying to save money. But it didn't matter. That meaty flavor was just delicious. And, you know, that's when they were calling their world famous fries and all that. And it wasn't until the 80s, I think, that war was really waged on them. But I do think that before that, there were lawsuits. I mean, some guy had a heart attack or something, like anything else. And so there was one guy who I know really had a heart attack and made it his mission to do something about it. And so they replaced the beef tallow with vegetable oil, and they've never been as good since.
That's sad.
Yep. So that's the deal.
That's just, you know, one of the many things that the world today that is irritating. I'm still trying to, you know, get my mind wrapped around the fact that they're, you know, calling, you know, a person who died, you know, several thousand years ago, trans without much historical proof.
Yeah.
I'm not transphobic or anything, and I know a lot of people will think that. It's just the fact that, what's the point? B, he was already known as a notorious emperor. And it's like, it just seems so weird.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I stay away from it because these you know, discussions get very emotional with it, with some people. But the bottom line is it's the pendulum, and I always say this. There was a point where things were so much in the other direction that people were vilified just for choosing to live their lives. And now it's gone in the direction that people are vilified just for calling it as it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll get to the middle eventually, maybe not in your life or mine, but it will. It's just the pendulum.
I am the cockeyed optimist.
All right.
I've always been that way.
No, that's
but,
good.
Well, you know, it's weird how, like, you know, probably even just back in the Victorian age, you know, when these were first, you know, being placed in museums, you know, they would defile the genitalia, you know. You know, it's weird how it goes back and forth. But yeah, I have faith that there'll be a middle ground.
There
but,
will be.
You know, society is like it's almost like its own living being. You know, it goes through growing pains.
Well, the very sad part is they're all weapons of mass distraction. While people are talking about this, things that matter are just going under the radar.
Oh yeah.
So and so be it. But we'll forget all that at night and just have a good time.
That's my goal. I'm having a very low key holiday. I mean, the fact that I 36 days clean.
Good.
Great.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So let's see. I decided to do what I always wanted to do with my Christmas tree. Do the ugliest thing in the world. So I decided to buy a gold Christmas tree from the Amazon.
Right.
Christmas lights that are shaped like mushrooms.
Okay.
And pink flamingo Christmas ornaments.
Oh, very
next
nice.
Week, when I get my unemployment, I'm going to get a Christmas tree topper that with the shape of Elvis's hat on it.
Uh-huh.
And I just...
Very good.
If I had a yard, it would be all pink flamingos and astroturf.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the ugliest, tackiest thing in the world, but for whatever reason, I'm drawn to them. I'm drawn towards that mid-century kitschy stuff.
Well, if that floats your boat, you know, it's your holiday, you spend it any way you want.
Yeah, I'm also just part of, you know, the recovery program. It's the fact that, you know, I am also, well, it's the fact that I've always, sitting in has always been a hard part with me, you know, and it kind of just reached a high point when I got it into, well, became a full-blown addict, you know. But now I'm just more or less saying, you know, to the heck with it. You know, I have to be not trying to conform.
True enough.
You know, I'm tired of it. I am a 32-year-old who listens to talk radio at night and calls in. That to me is exciting. Not going to all these bars and stuff and drinking the night away. You know, I thought I was like that, but I'm not.
Right.
You know, this is what I like.
And that's what you should do. You should do whatever it is you like. You know. Obviously, we're talking about legal things and not hurting anybody else's liberty, but assuming you're not slaying people on the street, whatever it is that you like is what you should be doing, and you don't need to make any apologies for it. You also don't need to call any attention to it if you don't want to. You know, I never like to hurt the feelings of those who are wanting me to adjust or conform or whatever. I just find a way not to do it.
Yeah. Let's see. Finally...
Yeah.
The final thought I had. Well, you're on tomorrow, so if I remembered, I'll write it down.
Oh, good. Yes, absolutely. I'm on tomorrow. We're on an hour late, but we'll have 2 hours to spend together from 11 to 1 right here on WGN. That's right.
Thank you, Raleigh. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks. All right. So 888-876-5593. You know, I never really thought much about it, but I guess one of the other things about the holidays is people do expect you to conform to their version of happiness or not. And like I say, you don't have to be confrontational, but you also don't have to go along. There are a list of excuses for why you're not participating and whatever it is you don't want to participate in. So it's just that simple. And of course, we're on every night, and the only Christmas song you're going to hear is Carla Thomas, Gee Whiz, It's Christmas, because I can't play it in June. All right, so, Bruce and Elwood, I don't know if he's called back or if I forgot to wipe him from the screen, but he may have some songs. You might too, and I'd love to hear about them. And yes, I will tell you about what Red Lobster did. I'm only laughing because this is one of these Bush League things that small restaurants have done, put them out of business more times than I can tell you. And yeah, but Red Lobster did it? Yeah, they did. All right, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. Yeah, those are the times. Ms. Grace, number one in Great Britain. Yeah, it didn't chart here, I don't think, or not much anyway, but boy, it was a huge beach record and top five beach record of all time. George Williams of the Times would have been 99 today. Sadly, died at 68 in 2004. George Hilliard died in 2014, but Caesar Berry and Norman Burnett are still performing to this day. And Caesar's on my callback list. Oh, God, he might be in danger. I got to call him back while he's still with us and get him on the air, because he's a lot of fun. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, let's find out if Bruce was calling back with some songs, or whether I just didn't clear the lines. Are you there, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I don't know how. I got dropped off earlier somehow, and then I called back.
Well, very good. All right. See, and I thought maybe we were done and you went away, and so I kept saying, I better find out. So, what you adding to the list?
Another vote for Sukiyaki.
Okay, Q Sakamoto. All right.
Yeah. And then The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Yeah, I love that.
All right.
And then two Train songs.
Okay.
The Wabash Cannonball.
Okay.
Johnny Cash.
Right.
And Arlo Guthrie and the Train They Call the City of New Orleans.
Okay. All right. All
I
right.
I just love them Train songs. I crank them up when I'm by myself.
Yeah. Sure. That's great. Well, thank you for waiting, and thanks for adding to the list.
Okay, thanks, Ollie.
All right, good deal. So, yeah, fine choices, one and all, that's for sure. Next hour, we'll have James and his 4,832 stories. But, all right, so here's what happened to Red Lobster. First, let me back up and say, small-town restaurants have done this more often than I can describe, and we had a sponsor in Arizona where they had this Valentine's promotion, and we were the station they bought a heavy schedule on to promote it, and this was the Valentine's dinner. It was going to be prime rib for two and all that, and it was just $19.95 a person, and we sold it out. I mean, sold it out. The only problem was it cost this restaurant about $35 for each plate that they were serving. So they lost so much money, they ultimately went out of business. So you hear about that from time to time, and you think to yourself, yeah, that's small market, but that doesn't happen in big cities. Welcome to Red Lobster. You see, what happened was, and all stories that start out that way are fun, aren't they? By the way, this was originally one of the, well, not originally, but it became one of the Darden restaurants, and then it got sold to a venture capital group, and it's now owned by Thai Union out of Thailand. But they knew they were going to be losing some money on the third and fourth quarter of this year. They predicted it, and they said, well, here's what we need to do. The big thing that brings people into this restaurant is the all-you-can-eat shrimp. Well, we need to take this and not make it a limited time offer. We need to make it a permanent offer. And their thought was it'll draw people to the restaurant and then they'll order the more expensive items as well. Well, it drew people to the restaurant, all right. But instead of ordering the more expensive items, they ordered more shrimp. It's all you can eat, don't you know? But it actually cost Red Lobster more to feed them than they were paying. Right. And so it is what to do. They've been they refuse to take it off the menu, even though third and fourth quarter are not pretty. They're just increasing the price of the all-you-can-eat shrimp. It's now up to $25. And last I checked, they might be about break-even point now. I'm not sure. But they're saying, we'll be taking a larger loss than we originally anticipated. Well, I guess. Yeah. If you're a restaurant, for God's sakes, know what it costs to actually serve it. All right, so that was a lot of fun for me anyway. We got another hour to spend together. I hope you'll spend it with me, and I hope you'll call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. And that is Dave Brubeck on Square Dance, 1961 on Columbia. Dave would have turned 103 today. Yeah, time moves fast. Alright, so, yeah, I was debating what to play. At first I wanted Blue Rondo a la Turk, and then I thought, you know, nobody plays Unsquare Dance anymore. Maybe I now know why. Alright, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Eric is a first-time caller in Sterling. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Exciting, and what an honor.
I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, I'm just amazed by your mind. I've been a kind of a student of fine minds over my lifetime, and you're just amazing.
Well, thank you. I really don't feel that because, of course, the older I get, the more I realize my mind packed up and left me decades ago.
I know what you mean, but I think yours is gonna stay pretty fine right up until the very last.
Thank you.
I saw Dave Brubeck live in Rockford at the Coronado years ago. Brubeck and Sons, I think it was, or something.
Right.
Two generations, maybe. And it was phenomenal. They had some harmonica player that came out and just blew the whole place away. He was fantastic. Just came walking out in a Hawaiian shirt, and it was amazing. But what I really wanted to call you about was my wife and I used to visit my father-in-law, and he passed away this year. And he was very dear to us. He was, I just wish everyone in the world could have met him. But we used to sit and do crossword puzzles with him for about the last 6 years. He was 98 when he died, and his wife had passed away, so we didn't want him to be alone at night.
Uh-huh.
And we would go over, imagine in your 90s, and he would say, puzzle time, and we'd have watched a ball game or Oak Island. He loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd say, puzzle time, and we'd go into the puzzle room, and we'd stay there from maybe 8 till midnight a lot of nights until almost right up to the end. It was an amazing experience.
That's great.
And we got briefly interrupted from COVID, and we had to figure out, we called him every night, but
yeah.
We had to figure out how to, you know, keep everybody safe when we went over there. He had it twice, actually, and we haven't had it yet, but he was going out for breakfast and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, if you knew anything about, I've been wanting to ask you this, and we'd be sitting there listening to you, and for years I was going, I want to call Raleigh and ask her this. So we have a station here, AM 1240 WSGR.
Right. Yes, you do.
And I wondered if you knew anybody from that station. It used to be 50,000 watts, clear channel.
During the day.
Always been just a daytime?
No, it's actually a very little strange little radio station because it's 500 watts in the day and 1,000 watts at night.
Back
in the day, it had good daytime wattage. It never had great nighttime wattage.
Okay.
And that's because of being on 1240. You know, that was what was known as a class 4 frequency. And I've got an AM on a 1240, so believe me, I know. And right now, most of them are 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. But,
So not all clear channel stations are the same?
Well, they're not a clear channel station.
Well, they used to be, though.
No. They were 1240 clear channel stations. Now, I'm not talking about the company Clear Channel that owned radio stations. That's a whole different deal.
No. What I was told is that they were hot night and day because they had wide open frequency.
Not on 1240.
Okay.
Not possible. Yeah. See, the deal back then is you had class 1, 2, 3, and 4 stations.
Okay.
And class 1 were the clear channels, and they were either 1A or 1B. And if they were 1A, they were non-directional, and they were the only nighttime facility on that frequency originally. And if they were 1B, it was usually split, like one might be in Sacramento and, you know, the other one's in Cincinnati, that kind of thing. And 1240 was a local. It was a class 4 station. So originally, they would be 1,000 watts in the day and 250 watts at night, non-directional. And you would find a ton more stations on the class 4 frequencies. I could actually...
Oh, it used to be great.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, as far as that goes, 1240 across the country, you can look. There's a ton of radio stations on it because it is a class 4. I actually, if I get out of this seat, I can probably pull a pattern book and look at everybody who's on 1240 right now. But at no point was anybody doing 50,000 watts at night on 1240.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was misled then, or misunderstood.
Right. The other thing, I thought when they signed on in 49, they signed on at 1240. But I guess it's possible that they didn't sign on at 1240. So they signed on in 49. So I'm going to go back and pull a broadcasting yearbook from 1950. That'll give me the 49 sign-ons and see if they signed on at 1240. Maybe they were on another frequency.
I knew the engineer of that station, and he was a ham too, and that's where we used to rub elbows occasionally.
Well, remember,
he told me how he laid the radials in there, and how he didn't even have a watt meter to an SWR meter to get everything tuned up. He had to do it with just a VOM.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when you say 50,000 watt, I haven't looked at, they have an FM at 102.7. Their FM may well be 50,000 watts.
Mm.
That
I'm sure when my dad was telling me this, he how people learn something and it rolls off their tongue, and he'd say 50,000 watts clear channel.
No, and I will absolutely go back through all the years, because to the best of my knowledge, no one at 1240 has ever been 50,000.
So that's interesting.
I'd be very curious if someone was.
Is there a website that shows where you can find that information?
Well, yes and no. The easiest thing to do is look for the old broadcasting yearbooks and go through each year and do it by hand, which I do. I do that more often than not.
And I don't know how, but
worldradiohistory.com. Now, there are also, I've got signal books, which will, I don't keep them for years and years and years, but they show me every pattern of every station in America.
Okay.
So I can look at that, but that would be current. But I'm going to go back through those broadcasting yearbooks. In fact, I'll do that probably while I'm on the air tonight, see if I can find.
Okay, I'll listen.
See if I can find somebody. If not, I'll tell you tomorrow night whether I did or not. But I do.
And another thing you and I agree on is the dot wave files for audio.
Yeah.
That's the only way to go. I mean, I don't understand how the general population just tolerates MP3. No disrespect intended, but I mean, if you listen to them side by side, there's a terrific difference.
Oh yeah, and also for Mac, .AIF will be as good as WAVE.
There are some open source that are also good.
Yeah, absolutely. With MP3s, if you're doing them at 320 mono, which is the way I'd prefer to do it, you've got a pretty good file. But the real key to that is that if you're digitizing older stuff, really old analog stuff, you just can't do it with MP3. You're just losing too much data.
Right.
So WAV files are pretty robust. You're still talking about a digital conversion. There's an algorithm there, no matter how you slice it. But it's a lot better.
Yeah, Neil Young hated digital the last I knew. So
I can get pretty good sound. You can, but then there's the argument. For instance, for years I only wanted things that had tubes because transistors will not give you that warmth. I don't care what anybody says, you do not get the same warmth.
The real serious listeners have always said that. I've never had the pleasure of trying out
Macintosh.
Yeah, Macintosh. And, Crown, was that?
Yeah.
Did they do any tubes? Everybody
did before a point in time. I'd say the nicest sound I ever got out of a little portable stereo, so to speak, was a 1962 Voice of Music. thing had the best tubes. And sadly, when one of the tubes went out, I never could replace it with anything that made it sound as good. And, it was cheap. It was like $109 or something. And,
But that wouldn't even be like Class A modulation like with the Mac, would it?
No. But
no, that's surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it depends what you like. I guess you get used to it. But a lot of the really old stuff, man, when they digitize it, I don't care. It loses. And worse than that, when the recording engineers of today think they're just going to tweak it a little, I go crazy.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare change my mix. I want that 45 mono mix I got originally. I
totally agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So true enough. Well, I'm going to find out about this 1240 because now I want to know. And we're going to start at 1941 because that's when the big frequency swap happened, and everybody kind of moved around. Now, of
fantastic.
Course, they weren't.
And I would also like to throw a shout out to Johnny D. A salute to him.
Yes.
And a remembrance to Scotty. I loved listening to his voice. And what was that he always used to say? Something about love. I can't remember. No,
well,
God bless.
Yeah, God bless and keep
God
the doo-wop
bless.
Alive.
Is that it?
Yeah.
There used to be a ham that would open up a net and he'd say something about no bebop, flip-flop, pop-top. What was the rest of it? I can't remember. Operators was the end of it.
Oh, that's great.
Allowed. Class A only.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, I'm going to try to find out if anybody was ever on 50,000 watts since the frequency change in 41. If there is, I'll know it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay,
keep
thanks.
Up the good work.
Thank
and
you
and I are both going to try for 1,000 years.
Oh, well, I hope you'll call me again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. Oh, good. Stacy is calling back. We're going to get, in fact, I'm going to get to Stacy right now because I don't want her to go away. So, Stacy, I worried about you. You seem to go away.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, good. Now, how do you feel today?
A little bit better.
All right.
Yeah, I took my Tylenol.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm making some more coffee and I'm trying to, you know, get better.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Raleigh.
Yes.
I wanted to check with you again on the new moon. When
Tuesday.
Check again. Yeah.
Write that this coming Tuesday, the 12th, before 5:30 in the afternoon.
Before 5:30 in the afternoon
On the 12th. Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay. I wrote it down. I just wanted to double check with you.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm kamsa.
Well, you're sounding okay, and that's good. And you're going in the right direction.
Right, and it's just I'm mad because I got sick.
Well, you know, we all get sick. But I still say it's almost nature's way. You've been doing so much and working so hard for so long that now that the move is complete, it's almost like your body says, and I want to rest right now. So I think nature does that to us very often. It'll give us a cold or the flu or something, forcing us to hey, calm down and you know, just take care of yourself. So when you're not feeling good, you have to do that.
Right.
So that's probably it. Don't expect too much too fast. Just relax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Raleigh.
Yeah, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. It'll wait. You know, there's no law that says the house has to be in good order. None. Absolutely none. So don't worry about it. And no one has ever died with, she kept a clean house on their tombstone. You know, it's just not there. You can go to all the cemeteries you want. You will not see anything about housekeeping.
Okay.
So just relax and take care of yourself and baby yourself. Do something nice for yourself.
You make me feel better.
Oh, good. We'll have a bonbon or something, you know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So you betcha. So, by the way, I don't even know what bonbons are, but whatever it is, I like the creams, like the Russell Stover creams. Yeah, those are mine. All right, so we found WSDR in 1949. It signed on with 100 watts, Black Hawk Broadcasting in the Lawrence Building. Sam Bartlett and Lillian Bartlett owned it, and the program director was Todd Branson. All right, so that's where we start in 1949. They had 100 big watts. Okay, they had a Gates transmitter. All right. Well, that's no surprise. All right, we'll pick it up right there. We'll get to James. We'll get to, well, I think we talked to Bruce. I'm pretty sure we talked to Bruce. John will have to tell me whether somehow Bruce called back. I don't want to leave him on hold forever if he did. But there's room for you. I guarantee that. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Don't let the sun catch you crying. Salty, and baby, you made him so sore. kid on the pavement, till the man comes and throws you in jail. Don't let the sun.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Steve Alamo. Yeah, I know he's doing rock and roll, but that's what he wanted to do. That was 1963 on Checker. And he turned 84 years old today. He's living in the Naples area. Well, happy, happy birthday to Steve Alamo. All right, we're going to pick it up talking about Connell Red with Robert from Stickney. Oh, man. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? We'll talk about it coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it's the Fifth Dimension on Soul City 1969 with Lauren Myro's Wedding Bell Blues, certified gold this week in 1969. And good for them. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Robert. Robert is in Stickney. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Not too bad, yeah. Now, you mentioned before the 1240 frequency, and it just came to mind that when I grew up back in the 50s, it was 640 and 1240, the Connell Red.
Right.
I was wondering if you could give, like in a nutshell, kind of what happened, or
The idea that we needed some system to alert the public went back actually to what happened in Pearl Harbor in 1941, and so they were all talking about various things, and there were different schemes that came up, but ultimately they settled on Connell Red. Now, Connell, I'll explain what it did in a minute, but alerting the public was almost secondary to how Connell Red worked. What they were really looking to do was confuse the enemy, all right, because they didn't want the Soviets to use our frequencies as their homing devices to be able to put bombs where they wanted them. And so, so that was the primary purpose. And so secondarily was to alert the public. And 640 and 1240 were decided, and I don't know why. I remember once looking that up, and I can tell you that there's no definitive answer because I spent a lot of time on that. But the bottom line is the stations that were on those frequencies were not necessarily in any way the Connell Red stations. They weren't necessarily key stations. What would happen when you'd have a primary station that had phone lines going to the government, to the military, and all that, who would alert them when there was a problem. And if there was a problem, AM, FM, TV had to shut off, period, because they didn't want to be used for direction finding. And then what would happen is, initially, all the stations would shut down for 5 seconds, return for 5 seconds, then they'd shut down, then they'd return with a 1 kilohertz tone for 15 seconds. This was a way to alert the people in a daisy chain. And all of the broadcast stations would have to monitor the designated key station in their area. Now, after that, what happened was, the station would be transmitting on either 640 or 1240, the designated station. They would transmit for about 5 to 7 minutes, then they'd go off the air. Another station would take over on the same frequency. This way, it was not possible for the Soviets to use direction finding that way by where the stations were, because every 5 minutes they were in a different place. And so, by law, any radio that was manufactured between 1953 and 1963 had to have the triangle that said CD on 640 and 1240. So it was simple to initiate the switching. But because it was simple, you can imagine the false alarms. A lightning storm could set this off. And of course, the transmitters also back then, those transmitters could be damaged by that kind of quick cycling. So, you know, in fact, for the transmitters, we jokingly call it the EBS stress test, because so many transmitters failed during those kind of tests. And, you know, by 57, amateur radio was included under Conelrad. And again, the reason was to get them to stop transmitting so they couldn't be used as a direction finder. And so they would have to go off the air. And several companies marketed receivers that monitored local stations, sounded alarm, and deactivated the amateur radio transmitter so that there couldn't be a problem. But, you know, from the beginning, there were a number of people who said, this is lousy. And some guy came up with NEAR, the National Emergency Alarm Repeater, or something like that. And that didn't work out too well. But, you know, we can talk about some of the major errors, but, you know, that's happened in every system. But ultimately, you know, EBS and then EAS supplanted it. But that's how it worked, and a lot of people didn't realize that direction finding was a key part of what this was.
Oh, I see. Wow. you know what? This is kind of on the subject. I remember when I was growing up, too, in the 50s, we had, at the high end of the dial, we had at least two stations that shared a frequency, commercial stations.
Well, that's
WEG.
Yeah, that's actually gone on since the early days of radio. In fact, if you look at the first stations, you know, even a WGN, it was not unusual that three or four stations would share a frequency. Now, of course, over the years, that was less and less.
Yeah.
And I think the last one of any note, and it was a real strange one too, was WBAP and WFAA in Fort Worth and in Dallas. And the reason it was strange is that they swapped frequencies every 2 hours. And WBAP had a cowbell, and they switched between 820 and 570. And the only, I swear they'd still be doing it today if it weren't for DFW. What happened was Amon Carter Field and all that, then they built DFW, and the transmitter had to be raised because it was in the way. And so that's that's when they made a deal, and WBAP got the 50,000 watts on 820, and WFAA got the 570 regional.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, we had a WEDC and WSBC, I think.
Uh-huh.
EDC was owned by a Cadillac dealership, I think, in Chicago area, you know.
Uh-huh. That was not unusual.
They used to say, thank you, WEDC. This is WSBC.
Right, exactly. EDC shared it with SBC and with CRW. There were three.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There were three.
And so that was absolutely the case. And that was a 1240. And interesting. Uh-huh. And it was pretty much shared time. But you see, EDC's license goes back to 1926. And see, that's what I mean. And this is then the Federal Radio Commission was established shortly after that, and issued all sorts of temporary authorizations, and that'd be about, 27, 28. And so ultimately it worked out that as part of their reorganization that WEDC was assigned to 1210 at that point and shared time with CRW and SBC. And then during the big swap, 1941 is what changed the whole world. That was NARBA, the North American Regional Broadcasting Agreement, and that codified everything. And so that's when EDC and most of the stations on 1210 moved to 1240.
Oh, I see. So, oh, wow.
And it was also interesting because some of those timeshared stations would be of ethnic interest. You know, like they'd be broadcasting to a minority group. Well, yeah, but the funny thing was the government was suspicious of foreign language. So they didn't know what they were saying. And so
that's right.
You had
propaganda,
all
the, whatever.
Right, right. And especially during World War II, you had all these people trying to, diss them. And then they had an association that was upholding the good name of foreign language and all that. And so I think EDC got 11 hours and, but ultimately they each were supposed to have 8. And at CRW, what happened was the owner of CRW, his 8 hours, he said, well, no one listens overnight. So he sold his 3 hours to EDC. That's how they got the 11 hours. And they were on Ogden Avenue, and that was Emil Denemark Cadillac. And they had the showroom in the glass booth. And, you know, back in the 30s, before you and I, they were broadcasting live jazz bands at night. And so,
the remotes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then a Chicago alderman bought it in the 60s. And I think his mother did a Polish program before on WGES. And then he bought WDEC after WGES dropped all their foreign language when they.
Roman Puchinsky.
Yes. Well, that he was a congressman and later an alderman. Right. So.
Right.
When GES was dropping foreign language, and those of us who were soul fans were thrilled about it, well, he wasn't. And so he wanted to preserve foreign language programming, and so he bought EDC. And that's when he moved into Jefferson Park. And so, in fact, Pat Sajak, right after he got out of high school, he was a newscaster there. And that was during the all-night Spanish music program.
They would change.
Right. So it was mostly Polish and Spanish. But then they, they had music shows as well. And some R&B, because, it's a dollar a holler if you buy the time. Fine. In 95, I think the owner of SBC bought the CRW time. And then a year later, he bought EDC. And then it became 24 hours a day. But, I mean, if you add up those two purchase prices, it was over $1 million.
That'd
choke a pony.
Yeah.
And so that's what ended. So 95. So I guess actually they were longer than FAA and BAP. But, of course, they were pretty much a small-time deal. And then they bought the guy who owned Channel 50. All those UHF channels, oh, my God. But the guy who owned that, he bought it.
Yeah.
And, it was weird. So I think Westinghouse bought it, and I don't know why, but I'm pretty sure that
WIND, they used to own that.
Well, yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. That was a fine Group W station. And, but no, I think Group W bought them. And I don't know. So that would mean now they're CBS. Oh, my God. I'm laughing because that'd be Odyssey. Yeah, that'd be Odyssey. Well, I'll have to look up to see if that is Odyssey now. But anyway, that's the deal with them. So, interesting times.
Yeah, well, and I used to listen on, I think it was WGES, Herb Kentel Cool Jet.
Oh, yes, and, absolutely.
Al Benson.
Well, it was funny because he became Al Benson playing soul after they wouldn't let him sell commercials as a preacher.
Oh, really?
He was a. I'm trying. His last name started with an L. Anyway, he was using his given name, and they said, "No. If you're preaching, you can't be selling time." So, all right, I'll just become Al Benson. But Leaner. Yeah. I think Leaner was there, and they owned a record label too.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
But that was the big thing on GES. They said no, you the Leaner brothers. I'm almost positive that was it. I'm trying to think of what record label they had, but it was. They were originally from Jackson, Mississippi. Those brothers, but Parrot. Yeah. He had Parrot. Parrot.
Oh, Parrot. Yeah,
that was a great little R&B label. It was Parrot. And that was not the Parrot that was part of London later. We're talking about the 50s.
Oh.
This is like...
Oh, yeah, because Tom Jones was on
that. Not the same Parrot.
That's not the one.
No. Some of the Parrot stuff was later released by Chess. But no, Parrot had
some... Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
You know, so you're talking about some of the early, you know, vocal group harmony, like 50, 51, 52. That would have been Parrot. Oh, and it was a great little label. It was a lot of blues, but some other stuff as well. And Al Benson, who was Al Leaner, but they had something else, too, in addition to that. It'll come back to me. I'm telling you, the mind's a terrible thing to waste. But they put out a lot of things. So anyway, fun talking about it.
Oh, sure. Okay, well, you know, I just want to mention real quick, even with the trivia, because I still consider myself a 20th century guy, so I don't go with trivia by computers. I just use my memory.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot from you, too, a lot.
You know,
so, and I enjoy your show very much.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Call me again.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. So... let's see, the waning moments here. Ah, oh, look at this. I got Dave, I got Johnny D, I got James. I got tomorrow night, too, and I think I'm going to need it. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we'll forgo the final bumper because we only got a few minutes left. But, yeah, I was thinking about Al Benson, and he was Arthur Leaner when he was a preacher. And, like I say, he had to become a disc jockey playing records when he wanted to sell commercials. But it was the Leaner brothers were like his nephews. He was their uncle. And George Leaner, he was the one who had Wonderful. And what a great label Wonderful was. You know, you're talking, my God, whether it's Alvin Cash or the Sharpies or McKinley Mitchell or Betty Everett, Five Dutone, Shake a Tail Feather, and on and on. They also had Marvelous, MPAC, Toddlin' Town, there were a couple more, Halo. There's one more. Anyway, but that was the deal. The Leaner brothers were just terrific. And they were also United Record Distributors. On South Michigan, on Record Row. So that was going back to 1950. So, all right, we've got Dave in LaSalle. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I'll make this quick. I know you're rushed tonight. This song would, if you got a dorky list.
Yeah, but you love it, right? You just love it.
Yeah, well, okay. I would never admit to anybody that it's called Turn Me Loose by Fabian.
Okay, all right. Well, somebody had to like Fabian. We knew we'd find him. It's you.
No, hey, the guy made a lot of money. You know?
Yeah, for somebody who couldn't sing, yeah.
Yeah, one more from that era. I would call it too morbid, but I play it. It's called Endless Sleep.
Oh, Jody Reynolds. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Jody Reynolds. The night was black, rain falling down. Looked for my babies nowhere around. Traced her footsteps down to the shore. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, boy, you know the whole thing. You know, these are songs that I wouldn't post on my Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Jody Reynolds. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I like the song, but I wouldn't post it.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Those are
terrific choices. Yes, I love it. All right. Thank you for waiting, and thanks for calling. What?
I want to give you one more when you get a chance to play it. A song called Hello Strangers by Barbara.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great record. I'll tell you, the Capitals did it as the flip side to Cool Jerk. Their version is nice, too.
Oh, yeah, Cool Jerk. That was a really big hit, too.
Yeah. All right, I'll play the Barbara Lewis for you. I'll hopefully do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm telling you, nice talking to you.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Good show.
Appreciate it.
Good
show. Yeah, and it was so many years before Barbara Lewis ever got any of those royalties. Oh, man, but finally she did, and I'm pretty sure she's still with us. So been a while since I talked to her, but I remember, probably about 2 decades now. Okay, so let's just move on to Johnny D. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Johnny D.
Yes, hi, Rolly. I just called to give a shout back out to Eric.
Ah.
He was a good caller.
Yes.
That's what he's called.
Yes.
And so is the last fellow. Cool Jerk.
Is
that the song he's talking about?
Yeah. The flip side of Cool Jerk is the Capitals doing Hello Stranger. Yes, Dave was the one who mentioned Hello Stranger. Yes.
Okay. Well, I got a couple few.
Okay.
Now, these are songs that you know.
You love them. You absolutely love them.
You like, but you wouldn't want to tell people.
Yes,
like.
Exactly.
You might. I used to sing along with these.
Right.
When I was young. And one of them is Ferry Across the Mercy.
Okay, very good.
I used to sing that all the time. And then I'm a Believer by the Monkees.
Okay. All right.
And then Happy Together by the Turtles.
Yeah, all right.
And then Sugar Sugar.
Oh, the Archies, okay. All right.
For the Archies, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Fine choices. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, so I have 4 minutes left, and those 4 minutes belong to James, who sent a zillion stories as usual. I don't know how he finds the time to do it, and he says he reads them too. So, all right, James, of all the stories you read, what was your favorite?
Okay, well, there was an unfortunate story that I just came across about Ellen Barkin, her union dropped her insurance just because she's kind of like retired. Hey, it's Hollywood that doesn't want to use old actors and actresses.
No, that's not it.
And so they have to depend on residual.
Well,
and
right.
Apparently residuals don't count as income.
That's correct, Yes, that is absolutely correct. This is AFTRA and SAG, and the way it works is in order to qualify for the health insurance, you have to have made about $27,000 a year because the people who have employed you are putting that into the pension and welfare system, P&W. Well, if you don't make that money, you're dropped from the AFTRA insurance. And for years, AFTRA it was a self-insurer where they did it themselves, and it was just kind of the Cadillac of insurance. Now, the problem is that as one contract after another, they exempt residuals from the calculation for earnings. So she's not alone. This would be anybody. But remember something, at 70 years old, she's certainly qualified to be on Medicare, and supplements to Medicare are not expensive, and by and large. And so she's got some pretty good health care coverage. Now, I don't know what SAG is doing now over and above that, but, you know, I understand both sides of that story. The residuals, you see, don't pay the unions P&W. See, in other words, when you go out on a job and you act, the person who's hiring you, the production company or the radio or television station, they have to pay a percentage of your salary directly to AFTRA and SAG. And the reason they pay that is for the pension and the welfare. But residuals don't pay into that system. So that's the problem. Now, I think that what needs to happen here is not a change on the union level. It needs to happen on a change, just like it's only the last 50 years that anybody got residuals, really. You know, you go into the 60s and other than Bob Denver, nobody. So what needs to happen on the next negotiation is that residuals have to include pension and welfare contributions. And if it did, that would put them back in it. So there's the loophole.
Yeah, and it all depends if they're willing to do that. There might be some who don't want to.
Well,
do
of course they won't. But you know, that's the kind of union vote. I mean, if it's a thing where it's in the contract and it has to be paid, but if it's not paid, the union can't be providing that coverage because they're not being provided with any money to do it. You see, that's the part that Ellen Barkin isn't explaining. And while I feel sorry for her, well, those residual payments didn't come with P&W, so why should that be counted?
Yeah. And, okay. Oh, there's one for tomorrow night if I get a chance to call in.
I hope you will.
About the Babe Ruth card that sold for a pretty penny.
Yeah, well, I'll save that for tomorrow night. We can also talk about teachers behaving badly, knocking out a 12-year-old's tooth. All right, so all that and more will hopefully come up tomorrow night.
Yeah, okay, let's put it this way. I guess you could say, at least a teacher could do their best Muhammad Ali impersonation who would be the Howard Cosell? Say, right. I'm the king of the world.
You've ended the show. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks. All right.
Okay.
So, guy did it with his elbow. All right. he's been arrested. All right. We'll pick it up there tomorrow night. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the difference. So until tomorrow night, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.